Jackets Season 1, Episode 3. The dollhouse is over, but we're just getting started talking about it here on the Yellow Jackets Podcast on Post Show Recaps. Buzz, buzz, buzz. I am Josh Wigler, and I am joined here. I was going to make a Play-Doh joke again, folks. I have to admit, just because I felt like I mixed up the Play-Dohs last time. It's Grace. It's Jess. Hi, Grace. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Hi.
The eyes have it this week as we are talking about Yellow Jackets Season 1, Episode 3. If you were worried about the heebie-jeebies last time, Jess, getting very heebie-jeebie up in here.
Sammy, something about creepy children does me in. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen Harper's Island? I feel like you haven't. I feel like we've had this conversation.
No, we talked about this. Yeah,
there is a child on Harper's Island that creeps me out to no end. If there's a child and they're just like too quiet and like give looks to people, mm-hmm. It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah. He's serious, this child.
Sammy is serious. Sammy is
very serious. Also, are we living in a world where there are creepy mirror monsters here on Yellow Jackets? Is this a supernatural show? I don't know. My faith is shaken. I'm really freaked out. Also, apparently murder is a thing that is happening. At least some possible murders. RIP potentially. Seems like RIP for certain, Travis. A case of somebody who it seems is going to survive the 1996 storyline, only to not even have a speaking part as an adult character in 2021 and is just going to be depicted as a corpse. A really intense episode of Yellow Jackets, Grace. I thought the mystery deepens for sure.
Yeah, I feel like this episode felt quite different than the other ones. And not that we weren't getting 2021 stuff before, not that it wasn't there, but there's a lot of stuff focused in on 2021 this week. Much more so, I feel like, than anything we get in 1996. So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, really good episode. We are definitely pushing the plot forward on what's going on with Ty and her campaign, but maybe even more pressingly, what's happening at home with Ty and what's happening with Sammy, and why is mm-hmm. Sammy doing all the things that Sammy seems to be doing, but also what is this pattern of death that has followed Ty through three different moments in time that we get to track across this episode. And of course, the Misty and Natalie Road show.
My favorite 2021 storyline thus far, I gotta say.
Oh, just you mean of all of 2021, even outside of Yellow Jackets, say, as we're now in the new year and looking back on what was exciting about 2021?
I mean,
I think that might
Christina Ricci's there. I'm there.
Yeah,
low bar storylines from 2021.
Speaking of bar, we are seeing Shauna and Adam at the hotel bar.
What are you doing there, Adam?
Yeah.
I'm on the sus train now. Yeah. I'm officially on the sus train. Can I also say, if he's not a bad guy and this is just a simply like, you know, a fair storyline, I'm really like not into it at all. Like, I could not care less who Jeff's banging, what Jeff's doing. Like, is Shauna gonna find out? I don't care. And I hate that I don't care.
Big complaint this week. Really lack of data inventory this
week.
Big complaint.
Yeah. I'm really upset about it because that was such a fun bit on the podcast that we don't have as much data inventory to talk about.
Yeah, I don't like that we've officially personified the data inventory. You know, this was some things better left to the imagination. But we'll see where this storyline is taking us. We're going to talk about it all. We're going to do the whole episode recap here. If you are listening in the real time, welcome. We're hoping you're enjoying the week daily Yellow Jackets catch up podcast. If you're listening in a binge because you have discovered our Yellow Jackets podcast, welcome as well. We would love to talk to you more about the show. You can send in feedback, josh@postshowrecaps.com. You can talk to all three of us on the Twitters. I'm at Round Howard. Grace is at Hi From Grace. Jess is at The Jess Sterling. And you can talk to all three of us in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord by signing up and becoming a member of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It is very early in the new year, 2022. Perfect time to sign up and support your favorite podcast. Make it possible for these wild daily podcast shenanigans. It's not just Yellow Jackets. We're doing a daily Cobra Kai podcast right now. We're amping it up here at the start of 2022. All of this is made possible by the support of the patrons of Post Show Recap. So if you want to make the podcast even cooler than it already is, consider signing up. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Tons of perks, but no greater perk and the perk of being awesome. Let's talk about the dollhouse, Jess. We also, I guess this is a bit of a headline. Do we officially have a credit sequence on Yellow Jackets to discuss?
I was very confused as to why they waited till episode 3 to
sometimes
drop this.
Sometimes this happens. Sometimes it takes a week or two before you get the credit scene. Hot take. Loving the Yellow Jackets. Think the show is great. Not my favorite credit sequence. Not my favorite credit sequence.
Okay, thank God. I hate the credit sequence.
I don't like it.
I don't particularly care about the credit sequence.
Good? It's too blurry and like
we have choppy. We're coming from we've got high tastes, right? You know, coming from the Succession opening credits, which I know is a little long for some, but is iconic. Right, it's iconic. It's riveting. It's telling a story.
There was a conversation you had.
The fact that I can sing it like right off the bat. Come on,
yeah. You said because I don't know that song. So
there was a the diggy boom boom down.
Just get it out of the way.
Why did they do that? Why did they do that as the intro? Expensive. You were talking on the Wheel of Time podcast about whether intros are instantly iconic or do they take time. Yep. To become iconic. This is Jeff Probst's quote, I think. Yeah, wow, I'm touching a lot of different metaphors here. Yes. This is instantly bad, I think, in my opinion. I think I'll grow to love this. I don't know.
I think that this will be one that I will choose to skip, especially if I'm streaming Yellow Jackets, which is what I am doing. I will hit skip on this one probably most times. Can't win them all. And if this is the thing that I like the least about the show, I think that is totally fine.
Yeah.
Because I do really, really want to make it. I love the show. I think the show's been really, really fun so far.
Do you want me to record a Licky Boom Boom Down intro that you could play instead of that one?
It'll be the intro song for the podcast.
Boom Boom Down. Let's get Corey B. Come on. We'll come up with our own lyrics for it and everything. It'll be great.
And at the very end, it'll say 2 stars, iTunes reviews.
2 stars, iTunes reviews. In 1996, we are having a funeral in the wild. We have a few people who did not make it in the plane crash, Jess. It is time to mark their departures.
Yes. So Van is the one speaking and they're talking about Rachel.
Is Rachel the one who had been impaled?
She might be. She was on JV, so we don't really know. But I would imagine she probably is, considering she's the only one that isn't an adult that they're talking about. So it seems like all of the children, except for Rachel, have made it thus far.
Yeah.
And Van says she heard Rachel was going to see Oasis at the Meadowlands next month. She'll never hear Wonderwall again.
Nor Champagne Supernova.
It's very tragic. Who doesn't know Oasis?
Oh my gosh.
Laura Lee says they should hold hands and pray for them. Rachel had just moved up from JV, so they didn't really know her a ton. The thing that killed me, because I am taking notes for this episode and I am looking at things very closely, is the fact that they had a grave marker for Coach Scott's leg.
That's it. Yeah.
That's Coach Scott's leg.
Hey, legs are people too.
They're part of people. Yeah.
How quickly are they going to dig up that leg and have a
all five of these?
Yeah. Oh no, you can't do that.
No, it's too late.
So Rachel apparently didn't confuse her secants and her cosecants, so she's very smart.
Yeah,
and
I'm so smart that I had to. What is? Oh God! Of course I know what a secant and a cosecant. Oh, or at least I know of them. I don't really know them.
Is that the Sokotoa thing?
Oh my God! Let's not do math.
Okay.
I brought us here. This is my mistake.
You did it.
Let me get us out of here.
She also played flute. So the list of the dead, we have Rachel, Coach Martinez, flight attendant Janet, pilot Robert, and pilot Fred.
Yeah.
And then we're
Is that what they should have renamed the first episode, Grace? Pilot Robert pilot and Pilot Robert. Fred?
Pilot Robert Fred. Yeah.
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 Maybe that would have been better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of this episode is going to focus specifically on Ty. And so we focus it on her face as the prayer is happening. And we're going way back. So past 1996, even earlier, she looks about, God, I don't know children's ages.
You're famously, if you're a Post Show Recaps fan and a community building listener, Jess Sterling has announced her metrics for how to judge the age of a child. Yeah. Designated
she's about
into
a small,
medium, and large. Yeah.
I'd say she's on the high end of a small.
Yeah.
No, there's much smaller than this. I think she's
there are lots of smalls, but she is she's nearly medium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So
she's on the edge of small and medium.
Yeah, exactly. She's okay. A small medium. If you're like,
depending on the clothing manufacturer, maybe exactly. It's a small, maybe it's a medium. Yeah. I got it. Okay.
So she's approaching her grandmother, who seems to be praying. She's in like, she's at home, but she's in like a hospital bed. She's struggling to breathe. And her Nana invites her to sit with her. Young Tai asks if she's going to die. And Nana talks all about how dying is nothing to be afraid of.
Unless there's a scary mirror monster, in which case, yeah, death is horrible and terrifying. And there may be a scary mirror monster that you want to be.
Actually, death could be a reprieve from the scary eyeless mirror monster.
Sure. Unless you're going to have to meet him after.
Oh, God.
What if he's coming to get you?
I don't want to talk about that possibility.
Exactly. So the Lord gives us our time here, and then he calls us back to heaven.
Yeah.
You
can take or leave your eyes, I guess.
So we're back to 96 during the prayer, and Tai immediately like drops everybody's hands. She's like, I'm going for a walk. She doesn't like want to be a part of this moment. Yeah. And then we can
how long do you think it would take in a plane crash in the wilderness situation for you to be so situated in your new circumstances? You know, today I think I'm going for a walk today. I'll go for like, you know,
a very long time.
Yeah. Take a hike.
I would no, because you're hiking already to like, I don't know, get water and supplies and firewood. Like, no. She's just doing it to get away from everybody.
Walk?
But
yeah. Just like, go for a quick walk.
I'm gonna do it pretty soon.
I do a level walk.
I love my own time, you know? Yeah. I love my, you know, just thinking. You
know? Oh, see, then I'm just having a sit. Like I'm walking over there and I'm sitting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in 2021, Ty's getting some coffee and she gets an email from someone named Bethany with two N's, I noticed, that says, we've got a problem. And it's an ad.
Attack ad.
And a very bad attack ad that says,
she's cannibalizing your tax dollars.
And it has this horrifying photo of Tai. Like, I don't know if she's eating barbecue or what.
Yeah, looks like she's having ribs. That's just how people eat ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's messy. Can I just say, this is a controversial take. That is not how I eat ribs.
How do you eat ribs?
Say a knife and a fork?
Do not. No, I'm not a monster. I am very much that person if I'm eating wings or ribs where I will like rip and eat rather than bite directly into it.
If I'm eating wings or ribs, I'm hiding from public.
That's what I don't like. I don't like my whole face is messy. Yeah.
You rip?
I rip the meat off and then I eat it.
Do a rip.
Bite into it.
Ripping ribs.
Ripping ribs.
Just over here ripping ribs. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Not bad.
I disagree. So much harder. You won't get all the meat.
But you have to very efficiently rip all of the stuff. Yeah.
And at the end, you could bite into it because you're not
there
at risk of getting
of,
the smooch.
Yeah, you're going to need
smooch.
It's schmutz.
It's schmutz on your face.
Focusing on the show and the content of this television series we have elected to discuss. Is this an urban legend surrounding the Yellow Jacket survivors that cannibalism was involved? Does it feel like this is just a thing that's triggering for Tai because she knows what she did? This was one of the questions that I had from the attack ad.
I think like the stuff we've seen from like People magazine, it's like a whole ordeal, and like the way that Natalie was like pressured or like put like, you didn't tell us even what happened, like come on, like I do feel like, you know, however this sort of happens, that like maybe they show up and they're like, yeah, we do see some grave sites, but what about the other people who and they're like, don't worry about that, it's fine, like, but they're their bones, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what's that like helmet you have, you know, these antlers, you know? So I feel like they're probably, and they probably just like don't explore it because they were all kids stuck in the wilderness, you know?
Yeah, I would assume that they never really found out about the cannibalism issue, but like definitely suspect that there's foul play is my guess. You think
the attack ad being like, she's cannibalizing your tax dollars, and them realizing it's immediately a problem really tells me that people know more than like, and that's the interesting thing that I was saying before, when Shauna's like, we gotta, like, they're gonna find out what happened. Like, if there's like rumors of cannibalism, there has to be something, a much larger shoe, I think, needs to drop in terms of something really bad happening.
I guess if someone knew someone was a cannibal, though, they're not going to run for office. That was kind of where my mind went. Like, how is Tai running for office?
Interesting. I think that you see politicians running for office with huge cannibal-sized skeletons in their closet all the time.
I like to pretend that the world is a safe place.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln was a cannibal. The world is the worst place that you want it to be,
unfortunately. That's a true fact.
Anyway,
the
so
world
yeah,
is
so,
filled with heebie-jeebies, Jess Sterling.
I hate it.
They're everywhere.
Keep me up at night.
I know.
So
Cannibal Coolidge, they call it. There's a bunch of cannibals.
Cannibal Coolidge. I miss my mother because I ate her.
Calvin Coolidge is one of your presidents, right?
I'm not my mother.
She was delicious.
Oh my god. Pretty good Jennifer Coolidge impression. 5 stars on iTunes.
On iTunes. So yeah. Ty's upset, but her wife Simone comes in and she says her constituents are smarter than that. And Simone reminds Ty that she said she'd focus on the issues and make rational arguments for change. Don't appeal to voters' fear, because Ty is talking about running basically an attack ad back. Then we see Sammy enter with their dog named Biscuit. Biscuit needs to go to the park. And Simone tells Ty that it's the weekend, so she should just go enjoy time with her son, go to the park.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at Shauna's house, Shauna's like, "Hey, Jeff, I don't know if you got, do you have anything happening at 4 p.m. Eastern time?"
I love this move.
Exactly
this move.
Four.
Because we remember from last time that she saw on the texts from a Bianca, let's meet up at 4. It seemed like a very provocative thing. And Jeff, can't take an Uber at 4 o'clock. You gotta need me to pick you up because
we're getting a delivery.
You know, that database is
freaking Rogers out. The database isn't gonna inventory itself.
It's constantly expanding.
Yeah, just take an Uber. $60.
$60
across town.
Yeah, that's it.
Expensive Uber.
Well, wish you had told me yesterday.
And then he leaves, and that's it. Screw Jeff. And then we see the best 2021 storyline so far. Misty and Nat are driving together, and Misty is just talking about old boyfriends. Apparently there was a guy who stole office supplies from his job. There was a hiking guy who seemed normal until he asked for her socks and never called again.
Yeah. Why? Because he needed hiking socks?
No, because he wanted to sniff them or something weird.
Ugh, that sucks.
Anyway, so Misty asks Nat if she's dating anybody. And Nat just completely doesn't even answer. She's just like, "How long until we're at Travis's? They have 3.5 hours to go." And Misty says that at their age, all the available ones are crumbs at the bottom of the chip bag.
You know, when you frame it like that, though, sometimes the crumbs at the bottom of the chip bag really get you out of a jam. You know? No?
I was just going to say, there's some of my favorite. You know, you get that little, you can like, in the corner, you get all the last
crumbs. I hate it.
That's great.
Pour it. Yeah.
I need a clean chip. See, I don't like the pour method. I like a clean chip. Just, you know.
You rip it.
I don't rip the chips.
Chip ripper.
Yeah. So they're stopping to get gas, and Nat asks Misty to grab something while she gasses up. And Misty I assume Misty thinks that Nat's going to leave her here because she's like, "Well, I don't know what you like." And that's like chocolate. She's like, "Well, there's so many different kinds of chocolate."
I definitely thought that Natalie was going to take the car and just leave
Same.
Misty at the gas station.
I would leave Misty at the gas station.
I don't know Natalie well enough to know that she's not just going to do that. Heck, last episode, Natalie had a gun on Misty. So, you know, leaving her at the gas station would not be the highest crime here. She's just, you know, needs to verify for herself the hunch that, Misty totally messed with her car.
But don't surprise me with chocolate. I like very specific types of chocolate. Don't surprise me.
Yeah.
Did you notice what was in her glove box?
Rabbit's foot.
A rabbit's foot? More rabbits. I'm obsessed with the rabbits now.
Follow
There's
the
something
bunny.
Going on.
Follow the white rabbit.
Yes.
It's the Matrix, Grace.
Yeah, true. Yes.
And then Misty comes back out. She hands Nat chocolate. You know what she's eating? Jerky. And you know what Nat says? Jerky? Really? Like, cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
I assume.
Yeah.
Are all these people vegetarians now?
Doesn't seem like.
Well, obviously
it.
Not Shauna. She ate
seems like Shauna is having a great time.
Yeah. So back in '96, we're talking more food. The girls are trying to ration out their food. Jackie has poison ivy. Travis walks over and he grabs food without asking. And Lottie says, "We're in a situation here, Flex."
Yeah.
Apparently, is his nickname.
There's a little bit of strife here. I was going to say beef here. Maybe there is less. There's only a little bit of beef jerky left because Travis is yoinking all of the jerky. But he's taking his own food and he's not getting involved at all in any kind of rationing process. And this is starting to become an issue. But there's also the sort of the sensitivity piece of, well, maybe let's cut Travis some slack because he did watch his father die and potentially shook the tree to such an extent that his father fell from the branch. Maybe he's having a hard time. It's possible. But how long do you give someone slack before you starve to death? This is a legitimate question.
It's tough. I don't know.
I mean, I think that sort of some of the moral dilemma at the heart of it is, you know, universal of, you know, this person is grieving, this person is hurt, this person is injured, and we should respect that. And we want to be supportive and sensitive to that. But at what point does that person's injury start to injure us? You know,
yeah.
I think that there's a lot to unpack in that.
And also, Travis is kind of like a jerk sometimes. So I don't think his attitude helps anything.
Yeah.
Like,
but also his dad
died. But also his dad died.
I know.
He didn't do this forever.
And here's the thing. Natalie is mainly the one being like, listen, you know, she is on Team Travis a lot of this episode.
She is.
And
his dad almost died twice, right? You know, he kind of died twice. He watched his father fall out of an airplane window.
Yeah.
At that point, he could basically write his dad off as gone.
Yep.
And then he watches his dad, you know, fall from the tree.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And then Jackie says, like, oh, the rescue team's going to get here. And then Van says, if it gets here. So we find out it has been 3 days since their plane crash. But Jackie still has hope. Everyone else is starting to seemingly lose a bit of hope here because no one has arrived because of Misty. But they don't know that. Then we have Javi just like playing with a stick. Travis tries to give him some food. Then we have the whole gum situation
where it's
so sad. Javi keeps chewing a piece of gum. And it's because it's the last piece of gum his dad gave to him so his ears wouldn't pop on the plane.
Are they still popping, Javi?
And Travis is very annoyed about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants him to spit out the gum and Javi doesn't want to.
Meanwhile, Coach Scott doesn't want to eat his nom noms. Eat the granola bar, Coach Scott.
Misty. Here comes the airplane.
Misty is so aggressive. She definitely learned this technique from her Red Cross babysitters.
100%.
Survival thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't give you the mitol on an empty stomach.
Yeah. And then we see Lottie sneaking another pill, but we see she's slowly running out. And it looks like Shauna and Jackie are like looking at what she's doing, but they didn't, seemingly they didn't
thoroughly
see
clock it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So there's a lake nearby. Ty comes back from her walk and says, there's a lake. And so the idea is let's reset camp by a source of water effectively. Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is very much
very losty.
Yeah. Cave versus beach.
Cave versus the beach. But you know,
well, they're in the Canadian wilderness. There's a million lakes, so this is inevitable that they would find a lake in Canada.
But the thing is it's interesting because I thought their argument was like, oh, let's go spend the day at the lake, get enough water, and come back. It's a 4 or 5 mile hike, they say, and it's pretty rocky. Jackie doesn't want to leave because she says, "What if rescue comes?" But Ty's like, "They would have already been here. We should go." So they end up doing a vote. And it seems like Jackie, Lottie, Laura Lee, and some rando girl we don't know are all in favor of waiting. And everybody else is in favor of going to the lake, including Shauna.
Shauna, yeah.
And Jackie's pissed.
Yeah, she's in. She's in on going to the lake, and Jackie's not thrilled that that's part of it.
Yep.
The slow rebellion of Shauna.
But Van is smart enough to take the compass out of the plane. Honestly, Van is becoming one of my favorites. I think she's really smart. I think she's really funny. And I'm really enjoying Van of what we've seen of her. I'm curious to know if we're going to see a 2021 version of Van or if she is eaten.
Two options.
Those are the only options. And Shauna writes on the plane in lipstick, SOS, gone to lake.
Gone to lake.
Yep.
Pretty good message.
Yeah, they pack up all their stuff and put Coach Ben Scott on a stretcher and take off. So we see Shauna and Jackie chatting, and Shauna tries to offer Jackie water, but Jackie's like, I want your backwash.
Yeah.
That was a real thing in school. The backwash.
It was.
Real. That
was real. Backwash was a problem.
Yeah. Even more so.
Really backwash a lot?
I don't know, but it's kind of like quicksand. You know, we certainly thought it was going to be a bigger problem.
Quicksand was going to be a thing.
It was it was the specter of backwash was perhaps worse than the backwash.
It's only when you see the bubbles, you know.
I'm not sharing a drink with anybody. And some,
no, know, not backwash. Now.
Now there's a lot of backlash to the backwash.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've come a long enough way to know, avoid the backwash at all possible costs.
Backwash.
Yeah. So Ty thanks Shauna for having her back, but Shauna says she didn't. It was just what she thought was right.
Yeah.
And Shauna's like, we don't have any idea of what we're doing, like, which, you know, right call, I think.
Which is the, you know, in some ways the opposite of how Shauna is behaving in the modern day, because she knows exactly what she's doing. She's stalking her husband to a possible affair meetup. And then there are other ways in which she probably doesn't know what she doesn't know what she's doing. She's like, what am I doing? This is crazy. I'm following Jeff. She almost gets caught following Jeff.
Yeah, she's in like ducking behind minivan. The
wheels. Like, oh shit. Oh no.
Yeah. And like, not only that, but did she get it fixed? Like, it's going to be very obvious if you have a minivan with a messed up front bumper attempting to follow your husband who knows your car.
Yeah. She does not seem to be parked very far from Jeff when he comes out of the store.
No, with a small wrapped box. He has a gift for Miss Data inventory. Just saying.
Yeah. Probably a tiny armoire.
It's a little Tabitha. Tiny. What if her name is Tabitha? Oh my gosh.
A box size. Armoire.
So yeah, so we see Jeff pull into a hotel lobby and Shauna gets out of the car. She's going a snooping.
We'll spend some time there. Agent Shauna reporting for duty.
So funny. Yeah, that was really the only part that I was like, this is great. This is great content from Shauna.
So in 96 on their walk to the lake, look, a dead bear.
It's a dead bear. It's a big old bear.
It was eaten by vultures.
At least it wasn't a polar bear. So what killed the bear? They think maybe wolves?
Pack of wolves.
We have seen already a bit of a wolf flash for
wolf tease. Kind.
Or wolf, wolf tease.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think they would have been hearing wolf howls?
Well, so we also in this episode, though, are going to see a cabin and human remains, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the odds that there are people out here? There's at least one confirmed dead person and house that is here. So,
for sure. It's not like they're on an island, right? Like they're in the wilderness, so there could be people.
I think, you know, we've been talking about the others, right? What kind of others component exists out here? And I this episode does a lot of work to potentially get us into that, into that territory. I think that the bear, the dead bear, feels others-ish to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we get some information on a mystery. So we already have some answers to a mystery that we've been wondering about in 2021. Ty gets a phone call she's been waiting for. She's at the park with Sammy. It's Jessica Roberts. Yeah. She says, so far, nobody has talked. So obviously, Ty hired Jessica to see if
journalist.
She could get, to get information out of anybody.
So wait, is it because she's trying to test the sturdiness of her ability to run without a leaky ship? So
that's
she's
what
like,
I thought.
Go and talk to all of the people who I survived this ordeal with and see if they're going to break.
Not only that, but I think she wants to see if anybody approaches her saying, hey, have you heard from, right? Like Shauna brings her the business card and says, watch out for this woman.
Right.
So that's my guess.
Yeah. So it's all it's all a game. A dangerous game, I would say, Grace, because if I'm Shauna and I'm trying to get over this and not think about it, dredging up the memories of the past. Now I'm thinking about it. Maybe now I'm going to do something.
Yeah. She doesn't seem overly concerned in this conversation about the postcards.
Right.
But the postcards seem to be somebody messing around, and we know that Ty gets one, right? We've seen Ty with a postcard.
Did I miss that?
We have, right? I thought we did.
Yep, we did. Yeah.
So you think she'd be a little bit more concerned about what the postcard's coming, unless again, the postcards are from Ty. And Ty is again stirring to see sort of what can be uncovered so that she could know about it, cover it up herself. Yeah. But then also Shauna says, like, if this gets out. We know. So it's a whole dangerous game.
She ties it all together.
Yes. So Ty tells her to hurry up and try the rest. So I'm curious to know who the rest are because we know who she's approached so far. Jessica tells her that Bathurst's daughter, which is Bathurst is her opponent.
Her political rival. Yeah.
Yes. Is a junkie. 3 rehab stints before the age of 16. He buried an arrest of heroin possession for her. Now she's 18.
Yeah.
But this conversation gets interrupted because Sammy straight up punches a kid who falls off the climbing wall. And the boy's mother comes over and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Sammy's elbow. They were roughhousing. Sammy's elbow hit him in the face. Yeah. No.
Sammy punched a kid. And we get the sense that maybe it's because the kid called his mom a cannibal. Is that right?
Yes. But he said cannonball.
He's a cannonball. Cannonball.
I think it's interesting that Ty is willing to use something about Bathurst's daughter that she does when she is a teenager as leverage to get him to stop, because presumably all of the dirt about Ty is from when she is a teenager. Yeah. So it's very interesting.
She's potentially opening Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Pandora's box.
Pandora's box.
Yes.
Could be dangerous. Could be dangerous to do this for Ty, for sure.
Yes. Back in 1996, Van's using the compass and the rest are following along. We hear creepy forest noises.
Yeah, what do those sound like, Jess?
I think what I don't know.
Licky boom boom now.
Licky boom boom now. But it seems like only Ty possibly hears it, because everybody else is walking and Ty is the one who stops. So I don't know if only it's in Ty's head or if if only Ty hears it. But Van asks Ty if she's okay. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on with Ty, but something's going on here.
Yeah.
Ty seems to be connected to something. And I don't know what the show is asking us. Is the show asking us to accept that there is something, you know, otherworldly happening in the universe of Yellow Jackets? Is it just a manifestation of Ty's fears about certain things, her fear of death? I don't know. Don't know the show well enough yet to know.
Because we have who's looking? Who Lottie has her pills, which is for schizophrenia. So like, it feels like you wouldn't do. I don't know. I'm just like maybe getting too much in the writer's room here, but like you wouldn't do a schizophrenia potential storyline if you also are going to have Ty dealing with like some sort of mental health thing where she's like seeing visions, seeing things. But I guess her grandma's also seeing them. You know,
right?
So I do kind of think. It's all supernatural stuff. So
maybe
it's possible, because we did also hear, if you remember in the very first scene of the show, when the girl is running in the woods, she hears whispers. She hears like noises, like though, you know, I assume that wasn't Ty running, because we see her in the future. So I don't know. There's something there though, for sure.
But I mean, you know, to tie it back to the potential Lord of the Flies, you know, of it all, and that as a point of inspiration for Yellow Jackets, you know, you think about the pig's head and the literal Lord of the Flies character, you know, the darkness in the heart of man that is speaking to everybody, and how much is that actually a thing that's happening versus a metaphor, you know, so I do wonder how much are they going to, you know, literalize the supernatural components versus these horrifying, haunting images and sounds that we hear and see on the show. Are, you know, sort of ambassadors of these dark hearted ideas, less literal things. So I just don't know the show well enough to know yet. But I do know my eyes well enough to know that I saw a creepy mirror monster
with no eyes.
And so, I'm at least we have to entertain the possibility that this show exists in a world where, things that don't happen in our world are potentially happening, or things that we don't know about. I assume neither of you know any eyeless mirror monsters, but I don't want to speak out of school.
No, he connected to me on LinkedIn.
Hey, Grace, it's eyeless mirror monster. We have just to connect. Just network out. You know, just really wanting to network out.
Yeah. Network out? Is that the phrase people
networking
say?
Out.
The eyeless monster man says it.
Yeah.
So
I'm just trying to network out.
I'm just trying to network out.
Do you network out or? Yeah.
I never you do any networking in or? Yeah. Okay.
So 2021, we're getting the catch up of the playground incident.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ty doesn't think it's a big deal, but Simone says he punched a kid in the face.
Yeah, he punched a kid.
Basically, because he thought he heard the boy saying that she was a cannonball. And Ty really wants to hit back on this political ad, but Simone is upset because she's talking strategy rather than focusing on her son.
Yep.
So Ty goes over to talk to Sammy about what happened, and Sammy is like, "Be quiet,
like mom."
Jerk of a kid.
Yeah.
And Ty takes away Manny.
Give me your toy. Manny is the name of the toy.
Manny. Yeah.
Give me Manny. And Sammy says, "Give me Manny."
Yeah. And Ty give him back.
No, I'm keeping Manny. And Sammy. Go to your room. No, give me Manny. Sammy's a creepy little child.
I hate him.
Sammy scares me. Sammy scares me lots. I like Sammy, him a lot.
Sammy
cool
gives
character.
Me the straight up heebie jeebs, especially when we talk later about what he did.
I in this kind of storytelling, I always love the kid that knows more than the rest of us, because with their young mind, they are able to see the gulf between the land of the living and the land of the dead. What do the children know? Sammy feels like he's in on something that we aren't, and that makes him a really compelling character.
Can I tell you a true story? My niece, who is less than two, turns two in about a month. They live next to a cemetery, and she keeps telling me, "You see that outside? It's a ghost." And I keep saying, "That's very creepy.
That would
be great." So yeah, that's like, yeah, Sammy, it's working for, you know, creepy kid, telling ghost stories.
I mean, but I have this deep, like, I'm a pretty agnostic person. I'm, you know, John Locke once said, "In the woods, meat and potatoes, you know, I believe what I can see." And when I was a kid, I have this memory of a ghost sighting when I was like 3 years old, something like that. And it's still very vivid in my mind's eye. And I'm sure a lot of it was just vivid mind's eye imagination. But at that time, certainly the way that I read it as a 3 year old was like, "Oh, well, that purple outline of a human being just turned into a lion and roared at me and then disappeared." So I saw a human lion ghost as a child. It's definitely how I, you know, took that for many, many, many years. And I imagine there are lots of children or people who were kids who have stories like, "Well, I saw this crazy shit when I was a kid." And I love it when a story investigates the, well, what if that's real? Or even if it's not, the tension of why is this kid talking about, you know, scary, spooky people in the trees? Why am I seeing creepy iOS mirror monsters? This is fun stuff. This is what fiction's for. It's great.
Your story, if you were going to need to cut that out so I can keep it for a screenplay, we're going to make a lot of money.
Okay, all right. Let me just... we'll throw it to a commercial break real quick, and I'll just mark in the edit that this is going to be the commercial break, and I'll cut out the part about the scary lion ghost creature that I saw when I was a three-year-old. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. All right, and we're back. Definitely edited out the thing that needed to be edited out. Okay, hey, look, a lake! There!
Yeah, they found a lake. Runs. Yeah. Everybody celebrates.
Cannonball.
Great.
Dreams by the cranberry trees.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Kittle? What?
I'm going to eat this lake.
Anyway. And Travis, we get a little bit of like the beginnings of like a cutesy little crush situation between Travis and Nat.
Yeah, this is one of the stranger meet cutes of all time. The plane
meet cute.
Careful.
Oh, no.
Careful.
You know what meet cute is like? Meet cut if you take off the.
Careful.
Nailed it. Anyway, So all the girls are watching him, and Mari is like, "Oh my god, is Travis like actually hot though?"
Yeah.
Or is he the only available man?
You know, there are these.
Oh, yeah, I think one of the girls, I can't remember which one, was like, "Oh, we've been here for 3 days. Calm down."
Javi's a boy. And yeah, Coach Scott, I guess. Coach Scott's an actual adult, it seems like. So,
yes.
Too weird.
Yeah. So back in 2021, Misty and Nat, they have arrived at Travis's. Misty's like, "You should have brought your rifle because we haven't seen him in 25 years. So now we know. Since they've been off out of the Canadian wilderness, they have not seen him." Mm-hmm. He moved out to the sticks. He changed his name. Nat knocks. No one answers. And Misty's like, "Maybe we should like go get some wings in town and, you know, chit chat a little." Yeah. But Natalie just breaks it. Just a quick B&E, you know, NBD.
Some light B&E happening here on Yellow Jackets.
I love the line from Misty. "Someone can use a trip to Tuesday morning."
Mm-hmm. Why, just bypass Monday?
Do you not have Tuesday mornings around you?
Oh, I thought that it was an actual literal just like, "Hey, get rid of, go past Maybe Monday and go straight to Tuesday morning."
Oh,
is it Tuesday morning?
I have so much to teach you all. This is a store. It is very much like a Marshall's, a TJ Maxx, a Home Goods.
It's a Marshall's called Tuesday Morning is the name of the Marshall's adjacent store?
That is the name.
What an odd name for that kind of a store.
You're welcome.
Is it only open on Tuesday mornings or is it open every... Here, Tuesday morning, every day of the week is Tuesday morning. It's always a totally, undesirable time of week.
People hate Mondays, so boom, Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning isn't a great time of the week.
I'm going to need my store Wednesday evening.
Friday night, baby.
Friday night.
Get me the Friday night store, and now we're talking. Really, Saturday night. I need my Friday night.
I know. Yeah. Friday.
Saturday night, though, or even Saturday morning. I would hang out Saturday morning.
I will say my Sesameter went off when I saw that there was not one, but two glasses of table with a bottle of alcohol there.
It's just Travis and the creepy Iowa mirror monster boozing it up.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Networking out. Misty says it's never a good sign when a suspect lives like a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
The less a suspect owns, the creepier they turn out to be. The Gibbsboro ghoul barely owned
it. Who's the Gibbsboro ghoul?
She's part of like a town crime squad that no one asked her to be a part of.
Really slandering minimalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his place did look like crap, gotta say.
Yeah.
So Misty and Nat is like, Misty, go check the trash. And it looks like there's only alcohol in his fridge. And then she like lingers like a long time on one of his shirts. Like there was a very big pause there.
Do we know for sure that they haven't seen each other in so long? Cause I got the sense that there's, you know, this ships in the night quality about Natalie and Travis, right?
Oh wait, they have. We have a Polaroid proof. So it must just be Misty who hasn't.
Yeah, yeah. Because Natalie and Travis definitely connect, and I think that is a huge part of the grief by the end of the episode, right? And it's even Ty who's gonna, once Natalie's arrested, be like, "You and Travis together is a bad idea," right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So she finds a Polaroid of the two of them on his dresser. And then she thinks she sees him in the mirror. A lot of spooky stuff happening.
Shenanigans.
This episode.
Yeah.
And then he's not there when she turns around.
The mirror. Yeah. So he's not there. In 96.
Can I take this one? I got the. Speaking of backwash.
Yes, do this.
Misty wants to clean Coach Scott. He wants to wash his back.
You were so close. That's it. Speaking of backwash. Misty washes Coach Scott's back. Yeah. Take your shirt off. Let me squirt you.
It's weird.
But he just squirts his head anyway.
Coach Scott's good guy.
Coach Scott's freak out in this episode and then being consoled by Misty too was like, that is.
Sorry, I did say
really,
good guy.
Really real.
He does hit Misty.
He does hit Misty in the face.
Misty's a cannibal. This is all shades of gray stuff, you know?
Yeah. 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 50 shades of it, potentially, depending on how far we get in this show. So they're all enjoying the lake. Lots of lakeside activities. A break in the apocalypse. You'll love to see it.
Yep. And we do see Ty making eyes at Van. So. Mm-hmm. There's something there.
Yeah,
I like that we've, you know, this is last episode we had the giggle, you know, the laughing as like they all sort of admit they're like wrongdoings. Here it's just like, yes, like maybe wouldn't have even been. I mean, like a lot of people died, like five people died, but like, you know, like it's sort of like fun, but like the longer they're just like not going to be rescued, you can just feel this like descending into madness.
Yep.
So, Shauna is watching Jackie and Mari chatting, and Jackie's just like pretending not even to notice Shauna. She's really upset with her. Back in 2021, we have Misty saying Travis isn't getting his veggies. He is paced up, says he's working at Willowbrook Ranch, but Nat says that is a $200 bottle of alcohol on his table. So that's
but he's barely making minimum wage. So someone of wealth and influence has been in contact in some capacity with Travis. Is this Ty? Are we going to come to this? You know, is Ty so worried about all of this stuff that she'd be willing to kill Travis? I mean, I think, Lottie is the one who comes from extreme wealth, right?
Yep.
She's the one. So she's another person who I'd be thinking about on this front.
But Ty has a lot of money now, so that is an option as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know that Shauna doesn't have a ton of money based on their, you know, their money troubles.
Right.
So a cop comes in and they're under arrest. We see Nat pocket the Polaroid and the cops, they get arrested. Meanwhile, Shauna is trying to get room information for what room Jeff is in, but the front desk lady is like, no, she's not giving it up. Your name's not on the reservation. No room number for you. And Shauna decides the best lie to say she's with Homeland Security. She's undercover.
Yeah.
This was great.
I have a badge, but you can't see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how top secret this undercover operation is.
Mother effer has eyes everywhere. I might get made.
Yeah.
It's good.
And Adam, I love Adam showing up. Agent Smith? But how Shauna, I have to hope that Shauna is as suspicious of Adam as we are.
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, we don't know what happens on the other side of that hotel room door that she takes him through.
I mean, I'm guessing hanky panky.
You would think, and it may bear out in the next episode, that that's all it was a hotel romp occurs. Or she's like, okay, so now that I've got you alone, why don't you tell me who the hell you are and why you're following me around? You know, I don't know. I hope that she has a little bit of that. Because this is the coincidence factor.
Twice.
It's too high. It's too high.
Like, last week there was a little bit of like, yeah, it's a little bit weird that he's trying to set up this thing where she has to hit his car. A bit of a, so, you know, but then this week he just is there.
Who goes to a hotel for like a drink?
Yeah, don't do
that. Go to a bar, dude. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? That was very strange.
Yeah. Especially because the hotel is going to upcharge the shit out of you.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone knows that. So this should be really, really, really suspect. The drink that he could get for like $3 is going to cost him $40. You know, this is not a place to go get a drink.
Yep. So Misty and Nat are in jail. The old slammer smells like I thought it would.
Yeah. The old slammer.
I love Misty being like, I bet they think we're hookers.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay.
Misty's having fun.
Yeah, except Nat's
everything's
not.
An adventure. It's all an adventure. Nat's having a bad time.
No, you stole my battery cable.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to come with you, and I knew you wouldn't let me. Do we buy that explanation that that's all that it is?
Yeah.
Or is there more with Misty than meets the eye? Are we feeling like we should just be taking Misty fully at face value, Jess?
I believe this, from what I have seen of Misty, I believe this to be true. I believe that for one, she's lonely and wants a friend. For two, Natalie is someone who knows her background. She could be honest with Natalie. And three, she's like a junior detective. Like, she wants to solve this situation. So she wants to find out more about Travis, right? She's someone who hunted him down in the first place. So all of this rings very true to me, to who Misty seems to be. I wouldn't be upset if there was more to it, but that seems like what it is.
Yeah. I don't foresee this, like, using my wrestling brain, like a Misty heel turn again, where it's like, I've been duping you the whole time. Like, I do really think, like, I think the last episode where you see her smiling when they're like, we couldn't do it, we'd be so effed without Misty, and just like, and then her smashing the transponder is really just her, she just wants to be liked and needed so bad. And so I do think that's what this is. I can see like a heel turn in the sense of like when things don't really go Misty, like Nat leaves Misty or does something that's not, you know, good for Misty, then that's when she could go off. But I don't know that there's anything more sort of that she's like hiding at the moment.
Yeah,
but could be wrong.
Could be wrong.
Never know. So meanwhile, Ty is looking up photos of someone. It looks like it's probably her opponent's teenage daughter or 18-year-old daughter, I should say. Then Natalie is the one. Natalie makes her one phone call to Ty. And Ty says, 3 days out of rehab and you're already arrested. So Ty has been the one. Footed the bill. I almost said feeded the bill for Natalie's rehab. And apparently Nat never asked for Ty to do that, but she did. And now Ty wants to know why Nat is in New Hampshire. Nat says, like, I haven't seen Travis, but I know where he works. And Ty's like, don't get involved. Go home. He disappeared on you for a reason. You're the worst for each other. You're completely toxic for each other. And she doesn't. I assume that a lot of Natalie's repeated trips to rehab involve Travis in some way.
At the very least, it seems like that's Ty's read on the situation. Ty knows that Natalie is in New Hampshire. Ty knows that Natalie is specifically looking for Travis. And we know that Ty is willing to go through great lengths to get what she wants. At least when she was a kid, she was willing to bust up Allie on the soccer field. So I think Ty being, you know, it almost feels too obvious to the point that it's got to be somebody else who's responsible for what happens to Travis later on. But all of the bullet points on that path are here if it is Ty that is doing something a little more nefarious.
The biggest player on the board who's not involved in 2021 is obviously Jackie, right?
Yes.
As somebody who they're not mentioning her in 2021,
we've
which either means,
Jackie.
You know, to me feels like she's not, but she could be dead in 1996, but I have the feel that like my big guess is like
she's a card
end
to
of
turn
season
over.
One
yeah.
Reveal is a Jackie reveal.
Yep.
And Ty says, I'm not helping this time. I'm not bailing you out of jail. Like, deal with it yourself. So she hangs up. Back in 1996, the girls are still in the lake playing chicken. And Lottie is looking off in the distance. And she says, there's a reflection on the hill. We have to go. Let's go hike up there. So they hike all the way up there. They find a cabin. But it's definitely abandoned. No one is there. Everyone enters except Lottie. She is standing on the outside, like a good distance away from the cabin, looking very dubious about the entire situation.
Right. The only one with some sense that, you know, maybe we should cautiously approach the cabin in the woods.
No, everyone just charges in, pulls out the pornos.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't talked, Van finds the porn. We haven't talked a lot. There is very much big eyes emoji between Ty and Van this episode, which I feel like is not in there for nothing.
Oh,
not
no way.
For no reason. For sure. Something is going to happen there. And it makes me really wonder what happens to Van, because I feel like, you know, Ty is with Simone. Not that people don't break up and whatnot, but like usually.
You only get one. You get the one.
Well, usually.
Don't mess that up.
Traumatizing events like this tend to bring people together, right? So if there was something pre-existing with Van and Ty, you'd think it would have continued outside of the Canadian wilderness, a la a Nat and Travis type of situation. And so I'm most intrigued, because Jackie, I agree with Grace, it could be like a season one finale reveal that Jackie's alive. I'm most curious about, where is Van?
Yeah.
What happened to her? Is she still alive?
Yeah.
There's cobwebs everywhere. There's antlers over the fireplace, which
antlers
I had my
fireplace.
Eyes on.
Yeah, because the antler motifs, the very feral looking suits that these, at least some of these kids are going to be wearing by the end of this thing.
I didn't see any bunnies, but you know.
Yeah.
So Jackie goes to open a can of beans, but she drops it because it looks nasty.
Yeah.
And Ty yells at her, and she's like, you know what? Like, we need to be conserving all this together. And Jackie gets upset and is like, we should have just stayed on the effing plane. This is an effing nightmare. She leaves to go put some lotion on her poison ivy.
The poison ivy's looking bad. She's been scratching it, and it's looking like she shouldn't have scratched it so much.
I wonder how she's the only one who got poison ivy. You know? Everybody else went in Girl Scouts, I guess.
Yeah.
So Shauna's watching her as Jackie cries outside the cabin.
Man finds porn.
Woo!
All right, thank God. We don't have the bar cart, but we do have porn. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Classic plot crux. These shows use a stack of porn in an old cabin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Chekhov's porn. This is definitely coming back in a bigger way. Yeah, put that porn in the drawer in the first act.
Oh, my gosh.
And put porn in a drawer in the first act and not expect porn to come back for the finale. For the climax.
Oh, no.
One star, I think. iTunes review.
Diggy boom boom down.
So
Travis grabs the magazine and he's off. Javi follows. Javi wants to see the magazine. He's still smacking that gum.
But not for long. Travis gets him to spit the gum out and throws it away. Yeah. That's sad. Well,
we also find out that they didn't have the best relationship with their father, which we kind of figured out, but he says it. You know, dad was a dick.
Yeah,
he was the whole reason we're in this hell, and now he's dead.
I wonder how much is that, like, you know, again, wondering whether how much do we believe these people and what they're saying. Travis is a teenager who there were definitely times I'm like, my parents don't know anything when I was, like, you know, 16, 17, you know, like dad was a dick. Like, yeah, I kind of thought my dad was a dick sometimes too, but turns out he was pretty justified in what he was like, you know, so I don't know.
I don't know that we'll really find out or if it really matters, but it is interesting to think about. Yeah.
I think one of the things that the show is clearly demonstrating is we're not just talking about two points in time. We're talking about many points in time. We saw with Misty 1992 last episode and this episode. I don't know if we clocked a year for Ty with her Nana, but obviously she's a lot younger then.
They didn't have a year because I did look for it. Mm-hmm.
There's definitely, the ability to flash back and forth through the time, the timeline of this show, that there could be more from the coach that we just don't know that could have impact on one or more of the characters. So I don't know. I think it obviously matters mostly as it pertains to Travis and Javi.
Yeah. So Nat watches all of this happen as well. In 2021, Misty gets, yeah, so Misty's like, who did you call? Someone I thought was a friend, but I was wrong. Yeah. And then she asks Misty, who are you going to call? Your bird?
Yeah.
Caligula.
No, Caligula doesn't know how to use the phone yet.
Who are you going to call?
And then we see Adam and Shauna getting a drink. Shauna is preoccupied by watching people enter the building.
The comings and goings.
Yes. And Adam is talking about like complete nonsense, honestly. Like, I didn't care at all about what he was saying. It was like all about finding his roots, man.
I go where like, the work takes me. Don't you have a shop in one location?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't ask why or where. I can just let go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So she's here because she has she needs to confirm a suspicion. Oh, you're so beautiful when you're so honest.
Ugh.
He's so gross. I can't with him.
But it is nice to have a consensus worst character on the show. You know, sometimes that could be a unifying factor. So we're fully on board. We hate Adam. We think Adam sucks.
I also hate Jeff, but
yeah.
All the white men, honestly.
Yeah, they're not great.
Send them away.
They're pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. So she sees Jeff with a woman, and Adam also notices that. And she asks Adam why he's here, and he says he was just getting a drink, but now he doesn't know.
No, I don't know.
I gotta say, the body language did not read Jeff schmoozing this woman.
But why did he have a gift for her?
Could be many reasons why you give somebody a gift.
A secret present for Shauna.
Yeah, could be. It needs to be something engraved for Shauna.
Yeah. And Bianca is a master engraver.
Yeah.
Sure.
Best engraver.
I just feel like if the in a show, if like you're going to reveal that Jeff is cheating, like we don't really get the reveal here. Like
they're
walking together. Right. And he's kind of like, he looks like he's like mansplaining something to her. Kind of like he's like gesturing with his hands a lot. You know,
We just assume Jeff mansplaining.
So like that inventory is like really hard.
A lot of database of.
Yeah. Like
you wouldn't get it. Let's see. Misty phoned a winner. She apparently called Kevin Tan.
Yeah, Kevin Tan to the rescue is going to be able to get them bailed out of New Hampshire prison.
I feel like what I like about the show is that like the links of like connect is like, this is the last episode we saw the card on the table. She like takes it like, I wonder when that will come back into play. I'm like, oh, immediately.
Next week. Yeah.
Yeah, next week. Yeah.
Not only that, but she's been texting Kevin pretending to be Nat.
True.
Yeah.
So how did she... Then she just calls. She's like, oh, Nat couldn't call you, but I could call you.
Or she calls. She's like, yeah,
it's Nat.
It's Nat. Well, yeah, because she says she's channeling Nat by being dark and deadpan.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm so happy that both Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis are on this show. But beyond that, the fact that they are so linked and to get these two actors doing their thing across from each other, they are so good together.
They're fun.
The combo of Natalie and Misty is really, really fun. You know, the sort of bright and bubbly Misty, but with definite Wednesday Addams danger underneath the surface.
Yeah.
Wednesday Addams mornings. I know that's a good story.
Yeah, Wednesday mornings. Yeah.
I don't know what it says about me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it says about me that I really connect with Misty on a certain level where she's like, uncomfortable silences make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, same girl, same. Yeah. Like, I get you.
Yep.
Nat says they're not going home yet. So more on that later.
Not yet.
1996.
You can just e-transfer a bail. You don't have to show up. You're Kevin Tan. You can just say, hey.
He's a cop. He got them out of it, I assumed.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't think they had to do bail. I think he was just like, hey, I'm a cop. Oh. Let him go. And the cop was like, All right.
They got a secret detective, hotline
Facebook group.
Call.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, it could be a Facebook group.
They're definitely a Facebook group. Yeah.
So Shauna found a couple extra blankets and she offers one to Jackie. She said, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't know what's right or wrong, but I don't want to die of thirst. I'm really scared. They should have come by now and I need my best friend right now. And so they hug and Jackie says the worst is behind them. Yikers. That's wrong.
Yep.
It's
definitely going to get a lot worse than it currently is.
Yeah.
Right now it's pretty good. All things considered.
Yep. Let me get more Coach Ben content.
We do get the coach. So this is the Coach Ben freak out.
Yeah.
Coach Ben's having a hard time. His leg is gone.
That's all that really needs to be happening.
That's
for
it. There's a lot of other stuff happening, but
I know, I'm just saying that's enough. Yeah.
The fact that the flies are circling the wound sucks. That's gotta be horrible. Because
you're gonna, he offered to give you a bath, but you didn't want it. So
And he pushes her away and smacks her in the face.
That's pretty bad.
And she, you know, cradles him close.
Did anybody think that Misty was gonna like freak out and scream and hit him or something?
No. I
was bracing myself for it.
I didn't. I think that she, you know, she wants to, she's, you know, trying to model some leadership out here. And I think that she senses that this is difficult for everybody, even if she feels like she's thriving out here, that I think that she wants to continue to be useful and that she understands that this guy just lost his leg and is literally flailing around for help. I think that that's how she takes it there. I thought it was a really good scene. This was so brutal. It's like, why couldn't I just die?
Died.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I did think that like she was gonna like rear back and freak out, right? Because like so much of like the Misty pre-plane crash is like her being kicked, kind of, right? Bullied. And you sort of expect that like the fight back, you know, moment to eventually come when she has a little bit of control, mm-hmm. but that's not who Misty is. That's not what she does. No. And I think that's like much more compelling for her to be this the whole idea that she is just so natural and comfortable in this environment is really intriguing to me, especially knowing that it does descend into much worse than this.
Yeah.
So how do we get there? Because we're not even getting like glimpses of, other than her smashing the transponders, maybe like the most like angry. And even that's not really angry. It's just her wanting to like maintain what she has at the moment.
Yeah. I just thought the only thing that was like in my mind that was happening in that moment, I was like, oh, is this when she like asserts her dominance, right? And like takes control. Yeah. But yeah, I like this option much better. We have a Ty flashback again. She's singing with her Nana. On the bed, same situation. Her Nana looks over at something and asks, "Who are you? Don't you come over here?" And she's looking in a mirror, and there's a man with
I was mirror monster. This was really creepy. This was, I think, my first real jump scare of the show. Because it was just so not something. It was like, oh, did Ryan Murphy have something to do with this series? You know, it was definitely one of those moments where it felt like I was watching American Horror Story and not Yellow Jackets anymore. And that was cool. It was really fun to have this moment of a different genre infiltrating the survival horror genre, a different kind of horror leaking into this. I have no idea what this means.
No idea.
You know, I don't. I have no idea. I have no Same. Idea. I'm confused, Grace.
I'm a big, you know, the Lost. I think The Haunting of Hill House, maybe Blythe Manor did this really well. They had like a spooky, ghosty guy with weird eyes. And I'm like, you know, and then they eventually like tell you what happened. And that's the
Mike Flanagan hallmark. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued by this. Who is this person? Why doesn't he have eyes? I think it's all, you know, is it just symbolism of like, you can't see, you're blinded, or is there like a reason why his eyes are not there? All of that is very, very intriguing to me. The you know, villain energy,
the
weird
ghost
monster
structure, right? The composites of the ghosts was always a fun mystery to try and puzzle out on the haunting shows that you're talking about. And I definitely feel that here. So what's up with the eyes? Why are the eyes specifically gone? What's with the total absence of color? There's kind of a grayscale quality to the ghost.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was so creepy.
It was really creepy.
I watched the second season of that Bly Manor thing, and I like barely scraped through it. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Not your cup of tea, Jeff.
So back in 2021, Ty goes into Sammy's room and says she knows he's not asleep. Ty says, when people do bad things, they should get punished. Next time you should use your words, not your fists. In the morning, you can have Manny back. And Sammy asks why people don't like Ty. And Ty says she's different from what people expect and that it scares them. Whatever they're saying about her isn't true. And Sammy says she's not the bad one. And Ty asks someone else is the bad one. And he just says, good night.
Who's the bad one?
He does nod, right?
Yeah.
He nods? Yeah. Somebody else.
Who's the bad one? Oh, no.
The guy with no eyes, probably.
But no, but he says he sees her. So she can't see me.
Yeah.
It's a woman. Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah,
there was the scary lady. So yeah. Who is the scary lady? Different than the eye monster? Yeah. We think so. Multiple monsters.
And then Ty is walking around her office. She takes out her phone and she calls Bathurst. She says she knows about Jane's drug arrest and she understands why he buried it. But the attack you had insinuating she's dangerous. Guess what? You're right. I won't think twice about destroying you and your family. If she sees another ad like that, his daughter's face will be all over the newspapers. Don't F with me, Phil.
Don't F with me, Phil. Words to live by.
Yeah. This is a serious tie here. Well, yeah. Willing to do anything.
She continues to demonstrate that from her childhood to her adulthood that she is willing to take extreme measures to get the best possible outcome for for her team, as it were, right? You know, it's her family now and her life as a politician, whether it's that or it's on the soccer field or, you know, surviving the Wilds.
I think it would have been a lot worse. Like, I feel like Simone really balances her out very well from what we've seen. And I feel like without Simone, she would be a totally different person, like in a different situation. And even now she's going to these lengths. But without Simone, there's like no one holding her back to doing these types of things even more so. Back in 96, Ty goes outside. Lottie is standing there on the porch and she says that she has a bad feeling about this place. And Ty's like, you have to come inside. What about the freaking bear out there? You know, we don't want you out here with the wolves. And Ty's like, I don't believe in that bad feeling shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
So everyone's they're choosing this place as the base of operations. I mean, I guess if you're stuck in a plane crash situation, you find a seemingly empty house. That's
good, where you're gonna go.
Good shelter option.
I wonder if there's a bathroom.
Like winning the lotto for plane crashes. Right near a cabin?
Your name is Lottie. Great. Lottie. Will we get some haunted house shenanigans is my question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we kind of did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in 2021, we see Shauna open a hotel room and enters with Adam following her. I made note just in case numbers come up because, you know, shows numbers like Lost. 2106. I know it was a little.
So they go in. Yeah. So they're in 2106, Shauna and Adam. And I'm, you know, what do we think? Do we want to take bets? Is the first thing we'll just see them in bed?
I think they time travel to the year 2106. So we're going to flash back and forward from those 2 years.
It's possible.
It could be.
Yeah. You never know.
I think they sleep together because to not see Jeff explicitly cheating, I think there's like some stuff here where it's like Shauna went to go see if he was cheating, never really got confirmation, then cheats on him. And then when she inevitably finds out that like he maybe isn't cheating, it's like, oh, well, that was bad of me. That was a bad idea to cheat on my husband who didn't cheat on me, who got me this nice gift, probably.
I also think, see, I'm with Grace, but almost the opposite in that, like, I think they're both cheating. And I think she's cheating specifically because, like, this, how vulnerable
give the white
must
man
you
a
feel?
Break, Jess. Mm-hmm. Give him a break.
They really need a break.
We've had it pretty hard recently.
Really
stop
hard.
It. Stop it.
If you could just give us some room.
No. because I think, like, she's in a really vulnerable spot, right? Like, she sees her husband. She thinks he's cheating on her. And, like, that puts her in a really particular spot where I think she's more open to doing it. She already had, like, a little bit of a back and forth with Adam. There was some, like, flirting, you know, flirty action. And I feel like she views him as, like, a one and done, you know? Like, he's a go with the wind kind of bro. Let's coexist, man.
To me, this show just doesn't feel like this is...
I hope
Shauna gets, you know... I think Shauna does some stuff out there.
Do you think she murders him?
No. I don't think she's gonna murder.
Carries a
Adam.
Cleaver in her bag, just in case.
Cousin from Jimmy.
Oh my gosh, she cuts.
But I just feel like this story is of Shauna not necessarily like she hasn't really made great decisions so far from what we've seen, and so I don't necessarily know that she's gonna get the out here of like Jeff was cheating on her.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm really happy that we have a difference of opinion because I think it's more fun that way. And I can't wait to see what actually is going to happen because would love to move on from the Shauna's being cheated on storyline. Like, I just think there's so – and it's not – It's more because I think Shauna is such an interesting character and she has way more to offer than a cheating storyline. You know? Yeah.
Melanie Lynskey too, you know, like,
of course.
Yeah.
Put her more centrally into the mystery, I think is the way that I want this to go as well. But I think if we're trying to find relevance in this story that is maybe gripping us the least, take maybe out of that is this, you know, the infidelity storyline, or the possible infidelity storyline, just trying thinking about how that's going to thread and in and out of just the increased focus on the trauma and how far removed from, you know, having a normal life so many of these people are. I think, you know, there's a lot of existential stuff to weigh in with that, but then there's also the practical reality of, is Adam who he says he is, or is Adam more deeply embroiled in a thing? So there are ways in which this storyline could still really collide with a lot of the intense drama that's happening elsewhere in Yellow Jackets.
Yep.
Yeah. Back in 2021, we see Ty sleeping on the couch and she wakes up. And then we have these kind of cuts, right? Between 1996 Ty, we see young Ty, and then 2021 Ty. So in 1996, Ty wakes up because she hears creaking on the ceiling of the cabin. So she explores, you know, the cabin a little bit, finds a ladder in a closet, climbs up, sees Lottie like crouched in the corner of the attic, and turns around and sees the symbol etched into the floor, it looks like, and a man with a shotgun in a chair appearing to have completed suicide is what we can guess based on the positioning. Yeah. We have 2021 Ty going downstairs, steps on an eyeball from a toy, so more eye imagery, and she finds the Manny doll completely destroyed in the basement, which is real creepy. Mm-hmm. And then young Ty is at her grandmother's funeral. She sees her grandmother's body in the coffin, and she approaches her, lifts her eyelid, and sees like one of the, I guess this must be a thing that they do. There's like a white ball situation where her eye would be. Josh hates it.
I hate eye stuff.
I know, which is why I don't know how you weren't bothered by the guy with no eyes.
No eye stuff.
Yeah, that's different. He didn't have any to be concerned about. No, eye stuff tends to be really, really difficult for me to weather in fiction and very much in reality. So this stuff definitely is chilling me to the bone. But I think a thing that can triumph over that for me is it effectively chilling? Is it doing the thing that the show wants it to do? And for me, big yes. Answer is absolute yes. It's very scary and gross and terrifying. And it leaves me with a lot of questions. Again, I mean, we have talked about the possibility. Okay, so something supernatural has been following Ty through her life, hence the recurring eye imagery, hence why Manny, the doll, has been destroyed here. If it's like the return of something horrible, something that, you know, maybe followed her from her childhood to the wilds, to the modern day. I need to stop saying the wilds because it is a different show. It's close enough. Or is it, the science versus faith of it all, right? So that's the faith-based stuff. What's the scientifically based stuff of, you know, is somebody, you know, stalking Ty? Somebody stalking the Yellow Jackets in the modern day? Is it just that Sammy is having episodes and gets out of bed and destroys the doll? I don't know. But we certainly know that it feels like somebody has killed one of the survivors, right? You know, there's at least Natalie's thinking is that Travis wouldn't have killed himself. We see him dead at the end of the episode in the very next scene. So is whoever's responsible for that coming after Ty? Who are all the different factions in this? It's just so early. It's so hard to know.
Yeah. The other thing to note is like, I mean, maybe Sammy's the easy answer for who mutilated the Manny doll, but like he did have plenty of drawings up on his window of eyes. And so like eyes are an important part of Ty's story for whatever reason. And now it's like I'm intrigued to go back and watch the first two episodes and see if there was any eye stuff then because I didn't recognize any at the time. Yeah,
report back to me. I'm not going to look. I don't want to see that.
You know, no, of course. But I just there's so much here. Who is this man? I assume it's a man. Who is this person, I should say,
right?
In the chair that seems to have killed himself or themselves. Very interested to know about that. Does it have anything to do with the symbol on the floor? We don't know what the symbol is, why it keeps appearing. We saw it on a tree. Now we've seen it on the floor and then obviously on the postcards. So there's
body
a lot.
Was pretty decayed too, right?
Just looked like he'd been dead for a bit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This wasn't like a, this happened yesterday type of deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause I mean, we assume that that was the only person in the cabin because I mean, I assume no one has been in it since the death because there was so many cobwebs and whatever. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, did that person carve the symbol in the tree? You know, like it's, I like that this show, while I think it's best in a mystery type of show like this, that they answer some questions along the way and then ask new questions. Because like now we know about Jessica Roberts, right? Like we know her purpose, done. Good with that storyline. We have confirmation that Misty was the one that took the cables out of Nat's car, right? But then they set up other mysteries.
Questions beget more questions, beget more questions, right? Yeah. You know, this is a hallmark of a show that is of this genre and in this space.
Yeah.
When you do this well, you know, it's very, very, very entertaining. When you stretch a lot of this stuff out forever, it's definitely frustrating. I think the showrunners have talked about, like, we want to set up mysteries that we answer for you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
The end of the also Travis wrote Nat was tell Nat she was right.
Right.
Interesting. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 It was the last thing he wrote before he died. Misty says, right? She found this in the cabin.
Yeah. She did the old trick where you do like you color in with pencil to see what the pressure of the paper before it said. Yeah. I mean, who killed Travis, right? Like, I think that's like probably the biggest question to come away from this episode beside all the eye stuff.
Yeah.
I
mean, you know, we have to, you know, assess a bunch of different possibilities. Like, did he kill himself? It does look difficult for him to have pulled that off. He's like,
I crane. That was my biggest of like, he can't just kill himself with a crane.
You have to operate a crane and you cannot do that unless you're like in the body of the crane.
Sloppy work.
You like you're climbing the crane and then like, you know, I don't want to get so morbid about it, obviously, but you know, yeah. This one looks like a killing, not, you know,
well that
you know.
And Nat insisting so much that Travis would not do this was enough for me to be like, okay, he didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Nat knows Travis, like, I mean, not that you just suffice it to say that I believe Nat here. And like, I knowing what we know about the show, it does seem like there is foul play. I also want to know, where is Javi? What happened to Javi? Did he survive the whole thing? Mm-hmm. Like, I assumed when the show started, when we were on episode one, I don't know why I assumed this, it was just going to be girls on the island. Like, I thought it was just going to be the teenage girls. Did not expect there to be two teenage boys and the coach there as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the first to go, but besides Travis, obviously. But
yeah.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. I really like this episode. I do think the Shauna storyline brought it down for me ever so slightly. Like, I still really am enjoying it, but I think depending on where it goes, we'll kind of I'll have to readjust my opinion on it then.
Yeah, I liked it a lot as well. It brought us into some new stories, but also specifically into some new locations, which is cool. We got the lake, we've got the house. You were in New Hampshire. We've got the whole state. Live free or die. You know, there's a lot going on. I think that the world of the show is opening up potentially to other worlds than these, right? You know, yes, so that's cool. That's fun. That's exciting. We're still learning the language of the show. You know, we don't know what the show is. We have no idea. So we can really only take it as it comes and see what you know the writers have in store for us. You know what they have up their sleeves and what they conceive of the major themes and what kind of, you know, reality, we want this to be a grounded reality or a surreality that is going to be more useful for telling this kind of story. And so I thought that this episode did a really, really good job of establishing the possibilities of both, you know, what matters in the brick and mortar world of this show and what possibly exists out there even beyond that. Exciting stuff. Gonna be fun. The next episode, which will be our final podcast of the first week of the daily, the week daily, that is, Yellow Jackets podcast content. Episode 4, Bear Down.
For midterms?
I guess better than Bear Up.
Well, the bear's already down.
Bear's already down. So let's find out more about the bear, I guess. Yeah. We'll go and see what's up with that bear. You got feedback for us? We want to hear it. Josh@postshowrecaps.com. Send an email in or hit us up on Twitter @RoundHoward, @TheJessSterling, @HiFromGrace. You can talk to us in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord about anything, whether it's Yellow Jackets or something beyond that. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. Support the arts, happy media. We would love to have you along the ride for this Post Show Recaps podcast creating journey that we are all on together. Jess and Grace both have so much going on. It's the same stuff we talked about in the last podcast. Community, movie reviews, Euphoria, shit from the 90s that will teach you things about life. So many different things. That's it, right?
That's everything.
That's basically it. All right, bear down. Coming your way next. We hope you're enjoying the Yellow Jackets podcast coverage. PostShowRecaps.com/YellowJacketsPod. Hopefully that's working. If it's not working, it will be soon. You can subscribe and, you know, hang your hat on our podcast tree. That's a weird.
I like that one. Keep that one. Keep
your hang your
happy
hat
media
on your podcast
support the
tree.
Hang your hat on our podcast tree.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we'll be back soon with Bear Down, episode 4 of Yellow Jackets. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.